Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Literati. Go to literati.com/creative for 25% off your first two orders and pick your kids' book club gift today. Today's episode is also brought to you by Patreon. As a creator, it can feel like you're making stuff for practically everyone but yourself. Patreon is a membership platform where your fans can directly support your work with paid subscriptions. Go to patreon.com and start creating today. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. Can you believe 2020 is almost over? As I'm recording this, there are just a handful of days left in this year. And I think some of us are probably saying, hooray, that's great. Although we all know that really when the year flips, it's just, you know, another day. We just move. It's not like everything's going to change when 2021 comes. But there's something about the end of the year and the start of a new year that signals a new beginning to us. It seems like an opportunity for us to take a new approach, to try something different, to reshape the way that we're doing things. So I want to take this opportunity to have a conversation about how to make the most out of 2021. And I thought the best person to bring into that conversation is Brian Johnson. Brian is the founder of Optimize. He has studied and read more wisdom, I think, than anyone else I know. And he teaches it to his community at optimize.me. And so we're going to have a conversation today about how we can structure our lives to become optimal in 2021, how we can position ourselves to take advantage of whatever this year offers, and frankly, to thrive even in difficult times. Listen, 2021 is probably going to be difficult for a while. So how can we set ourselves up to thrive even in the difficult times, and how can we build some practices and disciplines to help us optimize our year? That's what we're going to talk about with Brian Johnson in just a minute. Before we dive in, I want to let you know a couple of things. First of all, we're doing another round of creative leader roundtables. So if you are a leader of a team or if you're on a team, you want to understand the principles of leading creative teams effectively, visit creativeleaderroundtable.com. We're going to be kicking off the first session at the end of January. So you need to go and reserve your spot now. There are a limited number of spots available. So again, that's creativeleaderroundtable.com to learn more. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Literati. So for kids, it's never easy to find the right gift, right? We're always slyly listening for clues as to what they want. But this entire crazy year, your little ones have been practically yelling what they want. They want adventure, they want laughter, they want camaraderie, they want normalcy. And that's why they need Literati Kids. Literati Kids is a subscription book club that sends five beautiful children's books to your door each month, handpicked by experts. Literati Kids has book clubs for children ages 0 to 12, and each club has age-appropriate selections tailored to what your child needs. It's tough sorting through the millions of kids' books released each year, trying to find rich, engaging stories for your child, and Literati Kids takes care of that. So every month, you'll get a box of five expertly chosen kids' books with themes like mystery, adventure, STEM, and history. These are soul-enriching books handpicked by leaders in child education. In addition to these incredible books, your child's going to receive artwork from world-renowned artists, personalized stickers, and other fun goodies in each monthly box. You won't get this kind of expert curation anywhere else. And gift subscriptions are available as well for 1, 3, 6, or 12 months of books. So it's a great way to keep the holiday magic going through 2021, whether you're gifting a niece, a grandson, a friend's child, or your own. So go to literati.com/creative for 25% off your first two orders and pick your kid's book club gift today. Again, no one else has book clubs like these. Only at literati.com/creative. Can you get 25% off your first two orders and receive five incredible kids' books curated by experts delivered to your door every month? That's literati.com/creative. Make your little one's holiday season unforgettable this year. literati.com/creative. We thank Literati for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's so great to welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast, Brian Johnson. Brian is the founder of Optimize, found at optimize.me. And I'm so excited to have this conversation because I know I've had, I think, one or maybe two conversations with Brian for his work. And now I'm excited to have him on our show. Brian, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Todd, I appreciate the invitation. And yes, I'm a huge fan of you and your work, and I'm excited to connect.
So for those who may not be familiar with your work, could you tell us a little bit about your background and a little bit about Optimize and the work that you do?
Yeah, well, I've spent half of the last 20 plus years as a founder CEO and the other half as a philosopher, a lover of wisdom. I've raised $10 million and built and sold two businesses as a social entrepreneur, two social platforms. And then as a philosopher, I've created over 500 philosopher's notes on a couple of your books and some of my other favorite books. And then I also created an Optimized Coach program and mastery series that we're really proud has been scientifically proven to boost people's lives and all that good stuff. And basically, I like to integrate ancient wisdom and modern science to create practical tools to help people optimize their lives so they can become the best, most heroic versions of themselves.
I love that. And by the way, when you say philosopher's notes, what you mean are basically in-depth dives into the concepts in some of like some very difficult and complex books that you sort of somehow extract the wisdom from and then put them out there for the community. And I've been so impressed with the work that you've done and how well you can simplify something that is maybe a more complex topic. How much time do you spend reading every week? I'm really curious because I mean, you're so prolific, and you said 500. I mean that basically, you know, that indicates at least that you've read 500 books in depth enough to be able to create philosopher's notes that would, you know, help people understand those concepts.
Yeah, well, the way I like to describe the philosopher's notes, they're 6-page PDFs, and then I record them as MP3s as well. They're kind of like mini Cliff's notes. And the easiest way for me to kind of describe it is when you read a book, there's a big idea or 3 or 5 or 10, you kind of underline and asterisk and mark all up. They can literally change your life. So I pull those out, and then I riff on them. I connect them to other great books across different cultures and time. And then most importantly, help people apply them to their lives. And yeah, I've done it for, you know, ancient Stoic stuff to modern positive psychology stuff. I'm looking at two of my notes right now, Die Empty and Louder Than Words, two of your great books. And, you know, really just trying to help people who are super busy get access to this wisdom in a really meaningful, practical way. And yeah, you know, we've got over 600 of them actually now. And it's funny because had you asked me the question of how much I read a month ago, the answer would have been very different than today. I literally flipped the switch and moved from kind of a hermit where all I did was read and write and teach to the philosopher kind of side to the CEO. And so I'm creating a new business. And my rule was actually, I'm not allowed to read anymore. I've got to apply all the wisdom that I've gained. And literally I've read a few pages of a Winston Churchill biography, you know, otherwise the discipline is no, go live it. And I've kind of swapped that time for meditation and then just pure hustle.
So let's talk about that specifically, about the way that you design your life. Because I know that you and I are both big believers in the concept of rhythm. You know, people talk about balance, and I'm not a fan of the word balance when it comes to talking about our lives, because I feel like balance implies I'm gonna do a lot of stuff in a very mediocre way, right? Versus rhythm, which implies, listen, I'm gonna be all in one place, all in another, all in one place, all in another, and I'm gonna give everything I have to whatever I'm doing. I'm gonna kind of ebb and flow back and forth from season to season. I would be curious to hear from you, like, how do you make those decisions about when you go into hermit mode and when you go into, okay, now it's my time to apply all that stuff and just get it done?
So much there. And again, listening to you, I was just, yes, yes, yes. And one of the reasons why I love your work so much is we have so much coherence in how we see things and concordance. But you know, when I was in philosopher mode, I just had a very, very clear sense of what a masterpiece day looked like for me. You know, and I like to say my day started the night before. So I shut down my work completely. I spend time with the family. I go to bed super early with the kids. I get up super early. I put in my deep work after I meditate. Before I ever have any inputs, I've put in an hour to three of really solid deep work. And then I, you know, train and kind of move through my day and then repeat. And for me, it's just really, really rhythmic structure. And then to your point, And I'll get to the kind of switch that I just made recently. I'm all in on whatever I'm doing. So I like to focus on what's truly most important right now. Now that will either be my work or this chat right now or my kids or, you know, my training or whatever it is. But I want to be all in when I'm all in and then all off and recovering when I'm not on. I drew, as you were saying, that kind of this oscillating, you know, up and down rhythmic feel. And to your point, and one of my favorite ideas in your work is that idea of mediocrity, medius ocris, being stuck, you know, in the middle of a rugged mountain where you're not truly doing anything at a high level. And we're just enervated. So we want to be, I want to be in, on and then off. And I've structured my life such that I can do that. Now, again, what my days looked like when I was in more of a philosopher teacher mode vis-a-vis the entrepreneur mode, they're simultaneously very similar and very different. So I still do the shutdown complete, go to bed early. I'm meditating even more than I ever have. And then my deep work hours in the morning are really important to me, but then my schedule is completely packed. Whereas before, I literally had nothing in my calendar other than maybe a call or two with a friend and my coach, and otherwise it was just pure deep work. So I've kind of inverted that, but I've maintained my fundamentals is what I call them, eating, moving, sleeping, et cetera. And that deep work first thing every morning, non-negotiable, some of how I approach it.
You know, I know just sort of from having done this show now for 15 years, I know that there are people right now who are going to email me because they're thinking right now, well, that sounds great for Brian. That sounds great for Todd. You know, who both run their own companies, but you don't understand. I am someone who works for a boss who is very controlling and, you know, won't let me have flexibility about how I spend my days. And I know how I would respond to that email, but I'm curious to hear, how would you respond to somebody who says, listen, my life is very much at the whim of other people right now. How would you recommend that person begin to take some degree of ownership of the rhythms in their life?
Yeah, I mean, playfully, you would probably be more diplomatic than I would be. I'd step all the way back and say, look, we've got to create some agency here. So what do you want? You know, and we got to be willing to fire that boss if that's what's necessary, and really take creative ownership of how we're going to structure our days. Because the reality is, even that boss wants you to figure out what you need to do to perform at your highest level. And it doesn't take too much deep thought to realize that you flitting from thing to thing to thing and reacting all day, every day is the most efficient use of your time and how you're going to show up most productively for that boss. So having the autonomy to say, look, this is what my masterpiece day would look like, which requires a level of creative discipline to unplug from the inputs long enough to actually get clarity on what your ideal day would look like. And for me, again, that starts the night before. And I don't care what boss you have. You can decide that I'm done with work at 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. or for me, it's 4 p.m. in the winter as we're having this conversation. Boom. Okay. Then I'm going to recover and I'm going to turn off my email. I'm not going to go back to it. And I'm going to spend, and maybe for other people, it's 5 or 6 or whatever it is. But we have these opportunities to really take control of the controllables and then systematically create the you know, using the constraints of our reality. I'm not naive to that, sure. But really getting clear on, given my constraints, I've got 2 kids. Do you have kids? Cool. You've got to show up at this time for the boss. Perfect. But where are your deep work pockets? Because that's when you're going to create the highest return for your employer, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I think having a level of autonomy and creative vision to say, this is what my ideal day would look like. And these are the conversations I might need to have with my boss. But as I think it was Tim Ferriss who said, reality is negotiable. You know, like we have a lot more power than we think. And ultimately, our bosses and our colleagues and our partners want to flourish with us. And we've got to lead and be willing to, you know, break some traditional rules to figure out what the ideal looks like.
Yeah, I love the word that you used to set that up was agency. And I feel like it's really easy. Well, I don't feel like I know it's really easy to surrender our sense of agency when it gives us an excuse to not have to do the hard things. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're willing sometimes to trade agency for a little bit of comfort. And mm-hmm. That's a really dangerous game to play. You know, I remember back 17 years ago, I was working a job that was a very full-time job and included a lot of weekend work. And I had, at the time, two kids, and my wife was working a full-time job. We were running a nonprofit together as well that was funding international adoption. We were doing that just as a on a volunteer basis. And I was in the throes of launching my business at the very beginning of it. And I remember making that decision of, you know what, this is going to be really hard, but I'm going to get up at 5:15 every morning and I'm going to spend an hour and a half studying in the morning. And that's just what I'm going to do. And that's before everybody else in the family gets up, and it's before work, and it's tough. And it means I'm going to have to go to bed at like 9:00. That means I'm not going to be able to watch TV at night, or I'm not going to be, you know, but I remember making that decision. And it was hard for a couple of weeks, but then I remember there was like a switch that just flipped in me, and suddenly I felt like I had more of a sense of mastery over my days. I noticed that things were clearer. It was almost like I've heard world-class quarterbacks talk about when they drop back in the pocket and everything kind of slows down, and they can see, you know, receivers running. They can see things happening before they happen because everything kind of slows down for them when they're in the pocket. Even though things are happening so fast. And I felt like that's kind of what happened to me in my life. I could see things developing because I was taking that time. I was setting aside that time and taking back some degree of agency over my life and my schedule and all of that. And it's funny how, I mean, beyond the benefits of study, meditation, prayer, those kinds of things, but beyond the benefits of building those into our life, there's something that unlocks in our psychology when we have discipline and regimented practices in our life that changes the landscape of our entire existence in some way.
Amen, full stop. That's exactly it. And to take that agency and to decide, you used a couple of words that I use a lot in my work, decision. And you said a switch that flipped. I talk a lot about flipping the switch. So my whole work is predicated on, you know, Aristotle's idea of eudaimonia, Martin Seligman's ideas of flourishing. They say the exact same thing. If you ask them what the purpose of life is, they will say, Aristotle would say in one word, eudaimonia, which literally means good soul. Seligman would say flourish, which is the English translation of the word eudaimonia. Then you ask them, well, how do I achieve eudaimonia or flourishing? They will give you the exact same answer, live with virtue. Basically, create the context and the situation such that the best version of you can more and more consistently show up. Now, that best version of you isn't sitting up online at night, binge watching whatever's on TV. They've made a decision that this is one precious life. And you know what? I don't want to watch heroes. I want to be the hero of my own life. So I'm going to go to bed. For me, it's when the kids go to bed. So I can wake up 3 hours before the kids get up. So I've done more before 7 a.m. than the old me used to do before 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And I've had a full day. I've just done what I needed to do. But then we flip the switch. We invite that, what I would call a eudaimonic, most heroic version of ourselves to the party. And you make decisions. And they're no longer sacrifices, by the way. At that point, they're decisions. You've said, this is the kind of life I want to create for myself, for my family, for the community, for the world. And this is what I'm going to do. And again, it requires a significant shift from our culture's passive, what everyone else is doing, you know, to that sense of agency. But it's one of those interesting things that when we do that, things that seemed really hard become joy-giving, you know, and you drop into that pocket like you're talking about, you know, and you're actually out of the cacophony of all the things that are going on in our culture, and you can see things from a different perspective and do things that you can't do when you're plugged into the noise and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's this weird, you know, there's this weird dynamic of you have to do it before you see it. And I think most people want to be shown, right? I want to see the results, or I want to see the benefits before I'm willing to adopt it or accept it. And I think there's this weird thing where you have to just jump in with faith and just do it and then trust that over the course of time.
Yeah, I'll play with you on that, because one of the things that I do with our coaches and in my community is go back to the times in your life when you were most on. Because you and I, when we were getting ready to chat, we were talking about 2021 and what we can do to help people create a great year. Well, what did you do in your life when you were most on? And it's going to be idiosyncratically different for each of us, but I do certain things when I'm on. So do you, and so does everyone else who's listening now, right? Well, what are they? Because life isn't that complicated. Do more of the stuff that works, do less of the stuff that doesn't, and boom, we have a shot at going out and making 2021, alchemizing all the weirdness that was 2020, but use that as fuel for the greatest year of our lives. And to me, that's the thing, is we actually have the wisdom. We know that daimon within, we know, you know, we can pretend we don't. Need to cultivate that wisdom and self-mastery and the courage to do what needs to get done more and more consistently, right?
Right. Hey, everyone, we're going to dive back into the conversation with Brian Johnson in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Patreon. So as a creator, it can feel like you're making stuff for practically everyone but yourself. Patreon is a creator-founded membership platform where you can build a reliable income stream to fuel your creative independence. No advertisers, no algorithms, no mainstream gatekeepers holding your paycheck or telling you what to do. On Patreon, the people who love what you make can directly support it with paid subscriptions. And in return, they'll get access to exclusive content and custom rewards. Find the creative freedom to do your best work and the financial stability to make it possible. If you're an illustrator, a video creator, a podcaster, an artist, or a creative person of any kind, sign up today at patreon.com. That's patreon.com and start creating on your own terms. We thank Patreon for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. And now back to our interview with Brian Johnson. Well, okay, let's get a little more specific then about that. Like what you have studied the wisdom of, you know, all of the ancient philosophers. You've been studying, you know, modern science and psychology and understanding how to apply those insights. What are some things that you would say, okay, if you want to have a great 2021, if you want to get 2021 off to a good start, these are things you absolutely must consider implementing in your life now?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much there for our short chat, but I think it starts with knowing the game we're playing. Yeah. Society's got it wrong. I mean, it's no measure of well-being to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society, Krishnamurti says, right? And this is not a new challenge. 2,500 years, every culture across all times have basically said, don't do what everyone else is doing, right? Now, that's just accentuated in our modern world, but we got to know that. I call it eudaimonology, the study of a good soul. And then, you know, just to go to the very practical, I think we just hit on one of the most powerful things is what's the number one thing you know you could be doing that you're not currently doing that if you did it would most change your life? And the wisdom's already there. And I think that finding a way to kind of get clarity on that, you know the game you're playing, which is for me parroting the universal truths, which is to be the best version of myself in service to my family and community and world. Period. Full stop. Therefore, what do I need to do in order to be more in integrity with that? Because that's when I'm going to feel great and when I'm going to perform at a high level, et cetera. So if we had, you know, the 2 minutes to talk about it, that's where I would go, is what's the thing you know you could be doing? I mean, then also the fastest way to improve your life is actually to stop doing things that are destroying your energy and your sense of trust in yourself, et cetera. So what's the number one thing you need to stop doing? You know, and bringing that with us into 2021, I think is a really powerful tool. And again, we could talk about this for a weekend, you know, but those are some quick thoughts.
Yeah, I think that practice of what am I going to start doing? What am I going to continue doing? What am I going to stop doing? That's been a really valuable thing for me, just as a very simple framework, you know, for thinking about life and disciplines and structures. And it's so easy, especially right now. It's so easy to slip into bad habits, you know, and typically, you know, you don't intentionally start a bad habit. Usually it's something you fall into, right? Like it takes energy and effort and infrastructure and discipline to keep good habits going, because good habits often are uncomfortable things that we do in order to achieve a result that we love. Whereas, you know, bad habits are things we slip into because they're comfortable right now. They give us whatever sense of comfort we want right now. And so that's actually a framework that I'm applying as I think about at the end of this year and the beginning of next year is, you know, what's something that I absolutely want to start doing, as you mentioned? You know, what's something that I want to continue doing that's working really well for me right now? And then what's something I'm absolutely going to stop doing? I think That simple framework is a good way to kind of look at life as a whole and just begin in a really small way to make some minor changes to hopefully shape, craft a life that's going to, you know, yield better results in 2021.
Amen. Again, yes, love it.
So I'd love to talk about your new effort, your new initiative, the Heroic Public Benefit Corporation. Could you share more about what's going on there? This is really exciting news.
Yeah, thank you. You know, like I said, I've spent half of my last 20 years as a founder CEO, the other half as a philosopher. I've had some ambivalence, frankly, about, well, which one am I? Which one do I want to express? And with everything going on in our world, and politics aside, the elections, et cetera, as I said to our community recently, Walt Whitman once said that Ralph Waldo Emerson, he was simmering, 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 and Emerson brought him to a boil. So for me, looking out of the world right now, I just was simmering, 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 brought to a boil of it's time for me to step up and integrate the two. Heroic Public Benefit Corporation is the company that we just created. We're excited to go out. And our fun ambition is to make history as the largest crowdfunded startup ever. Federal government's lifting their regulation from $1 million max to $5 million early in the year. So we're really excited about that. We're going to take Optimize to the next level, and then we're doing some other things. My background is in social. So I've built and sold two social platforms. So a big part of Heroic is, you know, creating a social platform that the one line description is an answer to the social dilemma. What would a virtues-based social platform look like that is exclusively dedicated to conversations like this, becoming the best version of yourself in heroic service to the world? So that's the short story there. Heroes.us is the URL for that heroic venture.
I love that. It's great. And of course, optimize.me is the main site for Optimize. So Brian, as we think about 2021, you've got an audience right now listening to you, you know, sort of would love your words of wisdom. What would be your best advice for someone who is heading into 2021 to help them make this year their best year ever?
You know, we talked about some of the granular things on the number one thing you can start doing and stop doing. But stepping all the way back, my thing is, what are you here to do? Like, truly, like, what are you here to do? If what's going on in the world right now doesn't get you and I and everyone on this call to step up and to step out of that kind of cultural trance and say, how am I going to give my gifts to the world? Then I don't know what will wake us up. So that's my deepest challenge to myself and to members of our community is, what are you here to do? Now's the time to you know, celebrate what was great in 2020, see what needs a little bit of work or a lot of work, and then dedicate yourself to something bigger than yourself and truly dare to dream and say, you know what? This is what I want to do with this precious life of mine. This is how I think I can serve my family and community heroically. And let's go. So my kind of rallying cry right now is heroes unite. You know, and the ancient etymology of the word hero isn't tough guy or killer of bad guy. It's protector. When the Greeks came up with the word for hero, they chose a word that meant protector. So we all have the opportunity to be heroes, to have the strength for two. And as the ancients said, ancient Greeks, you know, the secret weapon of the hero was love. And the thing that propels us to do the things we know we need to do is love. It's not a narcissistic check me out on Instagram. It's, you know what, I care about my family. I care about my world. And I'm going to do the hard work to have the strength to serve profoundly. So to me, that would be the ultimate thing is, let's go. You know, yeah. Again, let's step up. The world, if what's going on in the world right now doesn't get us out of bed looking to do more and to lead and serve, frankly, I don't know what will. So that would be my personal admonition to myself is step up. Let's go. It's time to do the hard work, have that strength for two, and go out and literally serve profoundly and serve heroically together.
Love that. Brian Johnson is the founder of Optimize. Brian, it's so great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time to share your wisdom with us today.
Todd, thrilled to be here. Appreciate you inviting me. And thank you for all the work that you do. It's been a joy to share your wisdom with our community.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.